Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. In your Schofield Bible, page 7. The second chapter of Genesis, we'll read verses 16 and 17. I'll read the 16th verse, and then you'll join me on the 17th, and then we'll turn the page to another passage. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Likewise, we'll read responsively chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5 and verse 15. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and verse 15. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then together on verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's pray. Father, perhaps we don't realize how important it is that we listen tonight. We should realize it. We should realize that there's no meeting anywhere on this earth that is more important or more deserving of our attention than this meeting. And there's no one more deserving of our hearing than the man of God that you've sent us. So we pray that you'd help us to listen and to gain not only information, but to have our hearts and our lives changed. Bless tonight. Bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you to sit up straight now. I want you to listen to me. I want you to take your Bibles first and open Genesis 3 and verse 15. That's the pivotal verse of my message tonight. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. Now, while you're opening, when you've got it there, of course, many of you will have a hard time finding that. But I want you to listen to me while you're holding your place. I'm going to read another verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Being born, born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, that means the seed of physical birth. The corruptible seed are the kind of seed that causes birth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. That means the Word of God is the incorruptible seed. Nobody has ever been born again into the family of God without the Word of God. And it's got to be the incorruptible Word of God. It cannot be corrupted, tainted, tampered with. It's got to be, and it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now you got two seeds there. You got the seed of the corruptible seed and the incorruptible seed. Now with that as a background, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now here's the line I want you to notice. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm going to shoot full of holes what you think that verse means, and I'm going to give you something that you never read in a book in your life, and most of you, if any of you, I doubt if any of you ever heard exactly what I'm going to preach tonight. We're in a battle for the Word of God. That's the big battle. tonight, I want you to follow me very carefully. I don't want you taking any notes. I want you to listen. Let me have your mind and your logic as I very frankly try to keep you from making the mistake of a lifetime. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the battle of the ages, and that battle is between corruptible seed and incorruptible seed. We'll get to it. Our Heavenly Father, I want to have a mind that's clear tonight, and I ask you for a very clear mind. I ask you to help me to logic. Then I ask you to help my people to logic with me and follow me carefully as I bring this message on the battle of the ages. Amen. Sit up straight, right this way, no talking, no whispering. Everybody listening. Genesis, we won't turn to it. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, we read these words. Of every tree, by the way, God is talking here. God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So enters God speaking to man. So enters God's words, in initial words. He's just created man, and now God gives his initial words to man. I just read them to you. Now the word of God, hear me carefully, is called the seed, a seed, the seed. Luke 8, 11 says, the seed is the word, capital W. Psalm 126, 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, that's the Bible, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then in 1 Peter 1, 23, it says the incorruptible seed is the word of God. Do I have your following so far that the Word of God is incorruptible seed? Is that right?
Right.
All right. So we have entered into the human race the words of God for the first time. In Genesis 3:1, we'll not turn to these scriptures, but you can get the tape and you'll know that I'm quoting them word for word. In Genesis 3:1, Satan quotes what God had said. Now, hear me carefully. He quotes what God had said, and this is the way he quotes it. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's not what God said. God said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Now you said it's the same thing, means the same thing. But my Bible is not inspired thought after thought, it's inspired word after word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Every word. So to be the incorruptible seed, it must be every word that God has said. So Satan begins his word by changing, paraphrasing the word of God. So enters the first revised version of the Bible. And the great battle of the ages has begun. The battle versus Satan's words and God's words. And Satan does not come and give his own words. He comes and paraphrases God's words or changes God's words. But you say, Brother Howes, it means the same thing. Doesn't matter. The battle is begun. Now here you got it. The Word of God, according to Luke 8:11 and Psalm 126:6 and 1 Peter 1:23, is incorruptible seed. Are you listening? All right. That seed is a perfect Bible, the very words of God. All right, if the incorruptible seed contains the very words of God, then corruptible seed will change the words of God. So Satan, God's word here is called incorruptible seed, and Satan's word is called corruptible seed. Enter Satan's word, call corruptible seed. And the battle begins. The battle of the ages is seed versus seed. Don't leave me. After a while, I'm going to show you why. It's so important. The battle of the ages is seed versus seed. God's seed versus Satan's seed. God's word versus Satan's word. But Satan's word is always a changing or a paraphrasing of God's word. So we have a battle going on between incorruptible seed and corruptible seed, or every word of God versus the thought inspiration and other translations or versions, if you please. Now, then Satan comes along after he has given us his own seed. Then he comes along and says, God has said, in the day ye eat of you surely die, but Satan says, ye shall not surely die. Now Satan is saying, God's word does not mean exactly what it says. He's saying it's figuratively taken or spiritually taken, but you can't take it literally. It doesn't mean what he said. I like what the little girl said, Mama. If God didn't mean what he said, why didn't God say what he meant? Now, so the devil starts off first by changing, giving a revision. And the words of God are God's seed, the incorruptible seed, and the revision that the devil gives of God's seed is the corruptible seed. We'll come to explain it after a while. So then the devil comes along and says, okay, now that I've got you to take my version of what God has said, then he said, I want you to know God doesn't mean it. People say, oh, those old fundamentalists take the Bible literally. Yeah, I take the phone book literally too. I don't look down at the person who says Tom Green and say, I wonder what that is. That green probably stands for black-eyed pea or green bean. No, I take the phone. I figure that the folks that write the phone book are putting down the names and the phone numbers and the addresses on purpose there. I take it literally. I take the mathematics book literally. And brother, I think God did not want to give us a bunch of stuff we couldn't understand. So the devil comes first and says, I want to give you my version of the words of God. And then he comes and says that the words of God are not to be taken literally. Now, we have the battle raging. Seed versus seed. Corruptible seed versus incorruptible seed. The corruptible seed being Satan's words, and the incorruptible seed being God's words, and Satan's words are simply a version, a new version of rewording what God has said. Now, listen carefully to this. You're not going to like this. I don't care. It says, now, listen carefully. Let me review a second now. You got what God said. That is incorruptible seed. You got that? Say amen. Amen. All right. Now you got what the devil says is a revision of what God says, and then a spiritualizing of what God says, and that's corruptible seed. You got that? So we have God's words as the incorruptible seed, and Satan's revision or version as corruptible seed. Now I want you to listen to Genesis 3:15. Look at it. Genesis 3:15, you got it right there. And I will put enmity, that word enmity means enemies. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that's the devil and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now look at me. The battle of the ages between a God's seed and the devil's seed. You with me? And the God's seed is incorruptible because every word is of God. And the devil's seed is corruptible because he has made his own revised version of the word of God. Now God says that the seed of woman, listen to me now, will someday bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. Now what is the seed of the serpent? Corruptible seed. What is the seed of woman? Jesus. What is Jesus called in John 1:1? The word of God. Revelation 19:11, he comes again, says he has a name on him written that no man knew but he himself, and his name is called the Word of God. So the seed of woman is the incorruptible Word of God. And the seed of Satan is the version, a revised version, of the Word of God. So what does that mean? That means that, first thing that means is this, glory to God, incorruptible seed is going to win. You just go right ahead and call us old-fashioned fundamentalists
and call us literalists, call us what you want to. But the truth is, you folks that don't call us literalists, you don't know the Bible enough to know whether it's literal or not anyway. You don't know whether it's literal. You just said it's not literal because you don't want to believe where it says thou shalt not do a bunch of stuff. Now, I'm simply saying that God's seed is incorruptible. That's the Word of God. Satan's seed is corruptible. That is Satan's revision of the Word of God. And the Bible says that the seed of God, the incorruptible seed, he is going to stomp out one day the corruptible seed. Sort of like the fellow who quit smoking. He heard it caused cancer. So he had a whole bunch of cigarettes, and he put them on the floor and stomped every one of them and died with cancer of the heel. But that's what God's seed is going to win. Let me just make it very plain. The King James Bible crowd is going to come out on top. In case you want to be on the winning side, don't you get on these perversions of the Bible. You get on God's Word before it was messed with. So, it says that the day is going to come when God's incorruptible seed, are you listening? This is good. You ought to hear it now. God's incorruptible seed is going to stomp out and stamp out the devil's corruptible seed. Something else to note. It says that there is enmity between the corruptible seed and incorruptible seed. What does that mean? That means that we're enemies. What does that mean? That means that God's incorruptible seed, that book right there, and man's versions and perversions of that book, set side by side in somebody's bookstore, more concerned about making money than spreading the truth. But they're enemies with each other. This book right here, this historic book that has been proved in America, in great revivals, and the decency of our country, and in a country that was decent back when everybody believed this book. This book is at enmity. Now, the lost man is not my enemy. The drunkard is not my enemy. Those homeless people that sat up there this morning, they're not my enemies. The harlot or the prostitute over in Calumet City, if they're still over there, she is not my enemy. The fallen man is not my enemy. The fallen woman is not my enemy. But the Bible says that the seed of the devil, the corruptible seed, is at enmity with incorruptible seed. That means though the lost man is not my enemy, and the drunkard is not my enemy, and the harlot is not my enemy, and the atheist is not my enemy, and the fallen man is not my enemy. It means, however, the one that prints corruptible seed is my enemy. It means the one who sells corruptible seed is my enemy. It means the one who preaches corruptible seed is my enemy. It does not mean I'm not going to feed him. It does not mean I'm not going to be nice to him. I'm going to be courteous to him. A fellow preaches some other book other than the words of God. He preaches a corruptible seed. I'll speak to him on the street. I'll be courteous, but I'm not going to support him. I'm not going to give him a dime to spread corruptible seed to people's minds. He is my enemy. That means the one who teaches corruptible seed is my enemy. I didn't say it. God said it. He said there's enmity between the corruptible seed and the incorruptible seed. That means the one who spreads corruptible seed is my enemy. That means the TV evangelist who reads from corruptible seed is my enemy. That means the college that teaches in its Bible classes corruptible seed is my enemy. That means the seminary that teaches corruptible seed is my enemy. Now, before you hang me upon your phylacteries and your pharisaical garments, you wait till I tell you why in a few minutes, and if you've got any logic, you'll understand it. God says that the Bible Institute that uses corruptible seed is my enemy. And God says that the theologian who teaches from corruptible seed is my enemy. It says that the seed of woman is in enmity with the seed of the serpent. Now, wait a minute. Question, who made us enemies? God. God. Look at Genesis 3:15 again. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So, who was it made us enemies? God made us enemies. I want to tell you something. Brother, if this book right here, it contains the very words of God. Any book that has any of the words other than this book does not contain the very words of God. Two things that are not alike can't be the same. If they are the same, why print another one? I'll tell you why, to make some money. This book right here is the only Bible in the whole world that's not copyrighted. Every version of the Bible is copyrighted. I can take this book right here and take it over to our printing department tomorrow and print a Bible if I want to and sell it. I can take this Bible out to Howells Anderson College printing department tomorrow and I can sell this Bible. It's not copyrighted because it's not meant to make money. All the others are copyrighted because the people that put them out want to make money. I'm talking about Zondervan. I'm talking about Nelson Publishers. I'm talking about all these other people making all these Bibles. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, I am willing to live and if needs be die for this incorruptible seed right here. You can call me what you want to call me. Call me a bigot. Call me a fool. But my country was built on this incorruptible seed. My mama read this incorruptible seed to me every night. Every night my mama took the little shack of a house. She took this incorruptible seed and she read for 30 minutes. And she said, son, this book is the word of God. And I had to say it three times. The Bible's the word of God. The Bible's the word of God. The Bible's the word of God. And if I didn't believe it for any other reason, I'd believe it because of the shape our country was in when everybody believed it and the shape our country's in tonight. We didn't have a bunch of babies being murdered legally back in the days when we believed this incorruptible seed. We didn't have to have policemen in the hallways of our schools when America believed this incorruptible seed. We didn't have a bunch of queers in the armed forces when our country believed this incorruptible seed. We didn't have it. I'm saying America was not built on corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. The only hope we've got is to get back to God's seed, which is the very words of God Almighty. So the battle of the ages is for the Bible. Started in the Garden of Eden. Continues tonight. Why this enmity? Don't leave me now. Why this enmity? Because from these two seeds come two different births into two different families. The word seed here is the word that be used by the seed of man being placed to give birth to another child, to a child. Now, God says that His words are incorruptible seed. Don't leave me now. He said that other words, if anything is not, is a revision of, this, of God's words, it's corruptible seed. Corruptible, everything that God does reproduces after its kind. You'll find that mentioned 10 times in creation, after His kind. Every bird brought forth after His kind. Every beast brought forth after His kind. That's one reason why that the queers are wrong, because they don't bring forth after their kind. Did you ever hear of a couple of queers announcing the birth of a child? He said, I don't think you ought to use queers in public, then don't ever do it. I'm tired of them taking the good word gay and making a godless word out of it. And if this corrupt, incorruptible seed is true, then homosexuality is a sin and it's not a matter of life. It's a sin like adultery is sin. It's a sin like drinking is sin. It's a sin like murder is sin. I'm saying simply, the question in America is, are we not going to believe in this incorruptible seed? The battle's over that Bible. Our anti-capital punishment people are not fighting a capital punishment crowd. They're fighting the incorruptible seed. Our baby murderers are fighting the incorruptible seed. So, since everything brings forth after its kind, that means that, and these two seeds, are you listening? That means that the incorruptible seed will bring forth incorruptible life. And corruptible seed will bring forth corruptible life. And that's why I'm against the corruptible seed, because it brings forth a life that is corruptible. There are three seeds which to choose. Adam's, Satan's, or God's. A person is unsaved because Sailors, put your pen pencil up and listen to me. The man who's born, natural birth, is the son of Adam. That means if he dies unsaved, he'll go to hell and burn forever, the Bible says. You say, Brother Howes, do you believe there's a hell? I believe everything this incorruptible seed says. The question is not whether I believe in hell. The truth is the doctrine of hell sort of pricks my whatever culture I have. It pricks it. It doesn't make sense to me. But it doesn't have to make sense to me as long as the incorruptible seed says it's there. I believe this book is incorruptible. Now, this morning, in First Baptist Church of Hammond, people walk the aisle. Men, women, boys, and girls walk the aisle. Let's just take a typical man who came down and said, I want to be saved. Somebody took the incorruptible words of God, knelt at the altar, and showed him from the incorruptible words of God how to be saved. All right? That means that this as seed, are you listening? This as seed was placed in his heart, and the Holy Spirit gave life to that seed and germinated that seed, and he was born into God's family. In some other church this morning that does not believe in the incorruptible seed, but they have their own version of the Bible, and not the one tested and proved, they came down this morning to join their church, and they too got born again. They got born by corruptible seed, and a person walked the aisle in a King James Bible preaching church got born by incorruptible seed. But they both were born again. Now hear me carefully. Since God gave us the incorruptible seed in the Garden of Eden, then that which is born of the incorruptible seed is a child of God. Since Satan perverted God's words and gave us a revised version, giving corruptible seed, that means anybody that professed religion outside the incorruptible seed, the seed from which they were born was corruptible seed, and they were born again as children of the devil. That's why Jesus said in John 8:44 to the Pharisees, he said, ye are of your father the devil. He never said to an alcoholic, ye are of your father the devil. He never said to a prostitute, ye are of your father the devil. He never said to a drunkard, ye are of your father the devil. He never said to an embezzler, ye are of your father the devil. He said to a religious crowd that embraced religion, but not by the incorruptible seed, but by corruptible seed. He said, you are of your father the devil, because the seed that was placed in your heart was corruptible seed. You've been born again. But it's entirely possible to get born again and not be a child of God, not go to heaven when you die. But a person born of incorruptible seed, the old living words of God, that man is born into the family of God. Now you say, preacher, why are you making such an issue out of this? I'm making such an issue out of this because people that do not believe the incorruptible seed are getting folks born again into the family of Satan. The question is, I don't want any book to endorse any book. I'm an enemy of any book, a bitter enemy of any book that sends anybody to hell. And you cannot be born of anything other than the seed that was placed in you. Matthew 23:15, talking to these Pharisee crowd, said, you're twofold a child of hell. A person who's born of the flesh and not religious is lost and on his way to hell. A person who is born of corruptible seed and becomes religious without being born of the Spirit of God, are you listening to me? He is twofold a child of hell. So the people that print other Bibles are making people twofold a child of hell. Now, if you don't like this, you just figure out some way to put up with it or go join some church and get corruptible seed. But you say, my grandma belonged to that church. But your grandma belonged back in the days when they used incorruptible seed. There was a day when the Methodists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians and the Reformed Church people and all the Baptists and the Nazarenes and the Charismatics, Assembly of Gods, all of them, preach from this book I hold in my hand right now. But the devil has paraphrased this book and revised this book, and ladies and gentlemen, he's given us corrupt seed that can bring nothing but corrupt birth. So the battle raged, seed versus seed. Along comes the Westcott and Hort manuscripts. They're corruptible seeds, so they're my enemy. Along comes the Douay version. But it's a version and not the words of God. And so the corrupt seed is my enemy. Along comes the American Standard Version. It's corrupt seed. The same thing the devil did. He took what God said and said, let me make it easier to understand. Now you listen to me. That Bible right there is as easy to understand as any Bible on the market. You say, Brother, how those these and thous bother me? I'll explain it to you. Thee means you. Thou means you. Now you can understand the King James Bible, can't you? America, listen carefully. Our Judeo-Christian principles and ethics in America and even in England, our mother country, was built on the fact of the incorruptible words of Almighty God that I hold in my hand right there. And every great Christian nation was at its zenith of character and morals and principles when they believed the incorruptible Word of God and didn't get these little versions that have corrupted the Word of God. So comes the Revised Standard Version. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Comes a Moffat's translation. I'd be ashamed if I were you. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Comes the Living Bible. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Comes the New King James. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Comes the New Scofield. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Comes the Good News to Modern Man. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Then comes the New International Version. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Then comes the Reader's Digest Condensed Version. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Then comes the Goodspeed Version. It's corruptible, so it's my enemy. Then comes the Amplified Version. It's corruptible, so it is my enemy. And the reason it is my enemy is because if you are born of corruptible seed, you're not born into God's family, because that which is born of God sinneth not. That does not mean you get saved, you don't sin. That means that new man that got born in you does not sin. Your old man does, and there's a constant battle. But if you're born of corruptible seed, you're going to be born in a family of the devil. If you're born of incorruptible seed, you're born in a family of God. Now you say, Brother House, you make an issue. You dead sure better know I make an issue. And I am making no more issue tonight than John Wesley did when he founded the Methodist movement. And I'm making no more issue tonight than John Calvin did as a Presbyterian. I'm making no more issue tonight than Bob Jones Jr. and Sam Jones did as Methodist evangelists years ago. I'm making no more issue than Charles Haddon Spurgeon did in London a century ago or more. I'm preaching the same thing that every great movement of God has ever preached in the history of this country, and every great move of God, and every great Judeo-Christian ethic civilization has been built. Whether we believed, agreed on what this book teaches, sometimes we didn't, but we all agreed that this book was the incorruptible Word of God. So it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God said, and the devil said, this is what he said, but he changed it. And then he said, God didn't really mean that. That's only a figurative language. That's spiritual language. It's not literal. You can't take it literally. And so there started the seed versus the seed. I'll close with this. from the seed men are born. If incorruptible seed brings the new birth into God's family, and corruptible seed brings the new birth into the devil's family. That means the incorruptible seed takes us to heaven, and the corruptible seed takes us to hell. I have been as logical tonight as 2 plus 2 equals 4. And if what I have preached is true, and you're not an enemy of corruptible seed, you're not right with God. You say, you mean you think your word's the final authority? No, sir, I think God's word's the final authority. I don't think I'm the final authority. I don't think the Pope's the final authority. He does. I don't. I don't think the denomination's the final authority. I don't think the Baptists are the final authority, or the Methodists are the final authority. I think that book right there is the final authority. And that battle will continue to wage and rage until one day a world dictator shall arise on the scene. And that world dictator will conquer the Western world, according to Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39. Other passages. And there'll be a great war between the forces of the North, Russia, according to Ezekiel 38, Russia, Eastern Germany, Turkey, Libya, other nations of the North. They'll come down on Palestine to fight against Palestine. All of a sudden the Western powers will say, you come to take a spoil, you come for the wealth of the Dead Sea. And America and the Western powers will defend little Israel against the Northern Confederacy. And that those Western powers will be headed by a man, a world dictator, a powerful man. He'll be known as the Antichrist. That man will lead the Western powers to defeat Russia. In fact, it'll take 7 months to bury all the dead Russians on the mountains of Israel, the Bible says. All of a sudden, the Bible says that Russia will seek help from the east. The Bible calls it the land of the sun rising. China and Japan will come and fight for Russia in on the mountains of Israel. Once again, the Western powers, headed up the United States, and probably what is the European Common Market, almost exactly, the boundaries of the European Common Market. That man of sin and the Western powers will defeat Russia and defeat Libya and defeat Turkey and defeat Germany, Eastern Germany, and will defeat China and will defeat Japan. And that man will rise up as the Antichrist, the man of sin. He'll conquer the whole world. And then he will be king of the world. And as I've said so often, he looks to the south and sees his conquered Egypt, the king of the south. He looks to the east and sees his conquered China and Japan, the kings of the east. He looks to the north and sees his conquered Turkey and Russia and eastern Germany, the kings of the north. He himself came from the west, and so he's conquered the west. He stands up as king of the whole world on Mount Megiddo. But there's another king. And that other king is not from the east, the west, the north, or the south. He's from up there. And Jesus shall come again and defeat the Antichrist. And how will he defeat the Antichrist? Will he defeat the Antichrist by atomic bombs? No, sir. Will he defeat the Antichrist by military might? No, sir. A mighty army? No, sir. A mighty naval battle? No, sir. How will he defeat the Antichrist? With the incorruptible Word of God. The Bible says he'll defeat him by the Spirit of his mouth, the Word of God. And that's why I've given the last years of my life for the defense of that book right there. And you may as well tell a dog not to bark, just tell me not to defend that book. You may as well tell a cat not to meow, or a skunk not to stink, as me not to defend that book right there. Our country was built on that book. Our laws came from the Justinian Code, and the Justinian Code came from the laws of Moses. This country, the very legal system of this country, was built on this book. And if this country survives, she'll survive because of the incorruptible words of Almighty God. And if she crumbles and falls, she'll crumble and fall because she's put her faith in the corruptible words, paraphrased versions, given by the devil himself. The battle of the ages is a battle for that book. I aim to get right in the middle of it. I'll die for it. I'll be called a fool for it. I'll be called a fanatic for it. I'll be called a bigot for it. I believe with all of my heart that history proves that that book, when it's endorsed and accepted, believed and practiced, will change your civilization. And let me say this. Don't you get your hopes up that the Republicans are going to change America. And don't you get your hopes up that Bill and Hillary are going to change America. Don't you get your hopes up that Republicans, Democrats are going to change America. Mr. Perot is going to change America. America will be changed when America gets back to the incorruptible Word of God. That's the battle of the ages. And you sit there and say, boy, I believe that. How often do you read it? How much have you read it today? How long has it been since you read it through? Boy, I believe it from cover to cover, but you never open the cover. I believe it from cover to cover, and I believe the cover because it says Holy Bible here on the cover. And so back in the Garden of Eden, and God said the first things He ever said to man, His Word enters. Satan comes right along after God, and he gives His Word. Nothing more than a revision of what God just said. And from that day till this day, Satan does not come with his words. He comes with a revision of God's words. And that is corruptible seed. Praise God. We have the incorruptible seed. Our Heavenly Father,